Right now it is time to talk to the guys that don't have to worry about any of that stuff, and that is Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack. And I'm just seeing a bunch of, obviously, some sort of collectibles go in front of my face on the screen here. We say good morning to Tim and Greg. Good morning.
Good morning, and it's just Greg today. Just Greg. I'm flying solo again. Tim is actually in Billings, Montana. Why, you ask? Same question I have. Why would you want to go to Montana?
Especially, it's got to be cold out there.
I know. They just had an amazing snowstorm. So, but he's out there. It's the second part of a previous job that they're working on. And, 2024 has started out to be a real gangbusters for Hyneman Appraisals. So it's like that Where in the World is, that song, Carmen San Diego. Well, it's like Where in the World is Tim this week? So
Montana, gosh. I hope he wore his cowboy boots.
I asked him when I spoke with him yesterday, I said, are you sure you brought enough warm clothes? So, he'll be there for the week. He'll get home this Friday. And just enough time to unpack, do laundry, turn around, and hit back out on the road.
I know, it's amazing.
So, you got to strike while the iron is hot. So
that's it. You don't strike while the iron's hot, so long.
Exactly.
All right, so now, in things that we have talked about in the past, let me just go to the one thing, and that is what's going on. Remember Princess Diana's dress auction?
The most recent, you mean?
Yeah. We talked about it. We talked about it in advance.
Yeah.
And it did. It went for $600,000.
Oh. Well, that's not bad. I mean, she. I don't know whether that's a record for her stuff, though.
Well, we talked about it because they thought it would only go for about $80,000, and I remember I'm saying no, it's Princess Di. No matter what it is, it's going to go for, to me, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars because she's Princess Di, and sure enough.
Oh, it's the
purple thing. Yeah, it's the purple. The purple.
Yes. Thing. Yeah. And it really did perform well. I think the estimate was
somewhere
60 to 80 or maybe 80 to 100.
Yeah, somewhere around $100,000. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess it's, oh my goodness, I just see it here now. Yeah, it's sold for 5 times the estimate. Okay.
That's not too bad. Well, I said the same thing back then. I said, come on, it's Princess Diana. Just about anything. Remember when her little car was auctioned off? It was nothing more than like a Ford Escort, but it was Princess Diana's from before she was princess. And that thing went for like $100,000, and that was like an $18,000 car.
It's quite amazing that even now when her things come up, I just keep thinking, I'd like to know how many dresses that she actually had. There's like the ones that we're used to seeing, the big items, are one thing, but some of these have never seen the light of day. So it's like, I'm wondering how many more of these are going to be coming up because, she was a clothes horse after all, and she was a trendsetter in fashion, so I'm sure there are probably a lot more that are probably going to be coming up.
And she had good taste too. I mean, you could have been you could be a queen, you could have poor taste, and yes, but she had good, she had perfect taste for the style for the time she was alive.
Yeah, she certainly she also had the wherewithal to have the best designers, and the things that she had designed for her are a lot of those things made a number of the designers that she used. So But that's, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got me kind of hooked on auto auctions. Damn you. And I've been watching Meekum, and I have to admit, and their webs, I'm trying to figure out, there's a major learning curve to use their website. I don't know if you've been on their website.
Oh, it's no, to me, it's confusing. It's very confusing.
It's a major learning curve, and I'm having a little difficulty with it. Trying to find past auctions, because I know I was watching this weekend, and there was a big Ferrari that came up for sale. Now, and it sold for a record price, but I wasn't able to see the end of it. And I thought, well, I'll just go to the website and look. I could not find it. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, do you know if the when they televise them, if they're actually happening at that time or if it's a previous, you know, if it's taped for future?
Well, this is the thing. You're in the time of season where it could be live, and you're in, and it could not be live, because there's the southern swing and the western swing that they do. So mm-hmm. I know that Meekum was live. I know a couple of weeks ago. But it's not live. It's really hard to tell. Because they'll have things that look like they're live and they're not live, if you know what I mean, just for television production.
Yeah, that it, like pre-recorded, basically, for airing it. But this particular auction, I think, took place in Kissimmee. And when I went to their website, I can't believe how many places that Meekum actually does the.
Oh, they're all over the place, yeah.
All over. But now that, I was just curious because I found it interesting that the Ferrari, and I could swear that it was a new Ferrari, like a 2021 Ferrari, and it had some significance because of with Ferrari, I don't know if it was like their some anniversary thing or some.
Let me tell you right now, you were watching it live. It ended up selling for $3,135,000.
Ah, okay. Now, I could not find that to save my life. I just kept going back to another Ferrari that was 1992 Ferrari.
Yeah, this is a 1922 Ferrari. It was at the Kissimmee 2023 sale. It happened on January 15th. Was that around the time you were watching it?
That's exactly what okay. I was watching. Yeah.
It was live.
So, but I'm getting kind of hooked. Yeah. I'm really kind of becoming a groupie, I guess you might say. And it only happened because of you. I mean,
I'm sorry about that.
Well, fortunately, we only have a two-car garage, so Tim's safe.
Well, just always, you know, car auctions now, especially the higher end of them, are very much like our art auctions now. Because it's not, you're not getting the car for pure love of the car. You're getting the car for the intrinsic value that it might yield in the coming years. It's actually an investment, like you invest in art.
And you know, since I've been watching, I feel as though one of the reasons that some of these cars are selling, these big name cars are selling for so much is I think a lot of, or a number of the people who are bidding on them, there's also a celebrity
yep.
sort of feel if you are the one who ended up buying this particular model. So I think that also kind of helps drive some of the prices up a little bit because, I mean, these things are selling for like astronomical
yeah.
amounts.
Yeah, it's big dollars. And yet, 10 years from now when they resell, they'll be up again. It'll be up again. There's no doubt about it.
It's an interesting type of collectible, for lack of a better word. You're right. They're between automobiles, the car auctions and the painting auctions. There's a correlation there. I mean, these are really luxury items that are really just kicking ass on the you know, in the auction world. And I got so hooked on watching that now I have them bookmarked so that I can find out when their TV schedule is. So,
well, I'll bring you down to earth a little, because this is a great story, and one as auctioneers you probably come across every once in a while. Somebody purchased in an antique store a chandelier. And they thought it was beautiful, and they did. I mean, it wasn't a cheap chandelier; it was $700. That's not really expensive, but still, it turns out it's an Alberto Giacometti, and he's worth $3 million. And Christie's is going to auction it off. $3 million for a $700 investment.
Yeah, well, the person who paid $700, I'm pretty sure he probably knew that it was a Giacometti, because. And he probably didn't say anything. He said, oh, this is nice. that happens. It still does happen. You can still find the occasional treasure. But the chandelier, you know, to find a Giacometti chandelier like that, it's very rare. Very rare. Most of the Giacometti pieces, they know where they are. And this must have come from someone who, you know, didn't realize what they had, or they did, or the person who they either consigned it to or sold it to didn't realize what they, you know, didn't realize it either until they took it. And then the person who ended up buying it, I'm pretty sure, for $700 realized. I mean, if you buy one $700, and then all of a sudden Christie's is interested in it at that level, you had to know when you were walking in the store that that's what you were going to get. So kudos to them, the person who's selling it at Christie's, not so much for the person who only put a price tag at $700 on it.
That person is probably now drinking heavily, no doubt about it. Well, we can go to the Let Them Eat Cake category now, that Sotheby's is having an auction, a royal auction this springtime, and you can own a Marie Antoinette armchair. Now, if somebody actually bids on this, they have to put a sign on it: don't sit in this chair.
Yes. No,
come on. Unbelievable.
Well, there are several interesting stories that come to mind about sitting on a chair in an auction room. We've actually been in an auction where, you know, they usually have like a little thing that goes over, a little string over it says, do not sit. But if that happens to somehow come off, but we know somebody who actually sat on a chair and broke it.
Well, I've got to tell you, years ago when I was like 400, when I was like 420 pounds, I was invited to a Christmas party. And I got there, it was in Falls Village. And I got there and I was walking around and everything. And the host came up to me, said hello and everything like that. And they said, would you like to sit down? And they led me to a chair that I could sit in. It was a very nice, understated way of saying, this is your chair. Don't sit anyplace else.
That's like giving somebody a sippy mug, a dinner guest, a sippy mug, because the last time they were here, they broke a wine glass.
Some people said, were you offended? I said, no, they didn't mention anything about my weight. They did it very, you know, gradually. It took 10, 15 minutes. I was talking happy holidays and everything, and we were kind of walking. And so they did it very well. But I remember that whenever a story like this comes up about somebody getting a chair for auction or something, I just laugh because they made sure where I was sitting was rock solid. Now, if you're an American history buff, the Golden Railroad Spike is at Christie's as well. It is a Golden Railroad Spike, and it's selling for $2 million. It's just plain a steel railroad spike. Now it is clad in gold and silver. It's part of the Transcontinental Railroad. It sold for $2.22 million at auction with Christie's. The pre-sales estimate was $300,000. Now, it's a pretty cool thing. So if you're into railroading and you're into collecting and collectibles, it is a beautiful spike. It is. And I'm sure that, once again, the people that collected this know the value that it's going to bring even in the future, because it's part of American history.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because this is a case where the historic value is the primary or the driving force for the value of the piece, because a lot of times items are have historic significance but not that much of a monetary value. That happens a lot of times with deeds, ephemera, some other sort of items. But in this case, because of my feeling is because of what it represents, I think the historic value is its primary driving force for its intrinsic value as well, because of its history and what the railroad did for industry. And I mean, it was a historic thing that the railroad did, and to have that particular item, that's, I think, what the driving force, what the value is. You know, because we've had a number of items where we have done appraisals and people have items that are historic from areas where they're from, but you know, the only people who are interested in it would be the local historic societies. Well, a piece like this is, it's like international. It's has an international appeal. So I'm not surprised that would, I just like to know who bought it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that the Continental Railroad in American history brings up a lot of good and a lot of bad. The good, of course, it reached a divide in the United States and made the United States whole. It was an amazing feat at the time, but also what made it so famous was how the Chinese workers and the yes. horrible working conditions and the number of people that died in the making of that railroad. It's all wound up in big American history. And I know that there's probably some people that say, we don't teach that in school. Well, we do. And that's why we shouldn't be afraid of our heritage. Every country has things that they've done and they've grown. They should be proud of where they are right now and not try to hide away what was our growing heritage, unfortunately. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that's the problem with growing. I guess you would say growing pains for a new country. I mean, not the majority of people are good people. It's the people who are the visionaries a lot of times. Who just look at the American history as far as like the Industrial Revolution and all of the people, Andrew Carnegie, Rockefeller, and these people were ruthless. They were ruthless. And if you get a chance, you should watch, I think it's on the History Channel, the Men Who Built America. And it actually brings out all of the talks about all of the warts as well as the accomplishments. And that is our history. And I'm with you about that. I think that our history is important to maintain and to pass on to future generations, because that old cliche, history will repeat itself. We actually, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we've seen it happen. And it's starting to happen again. So you can, my feeling is you have two options. You can either put your head in the sand and not recognize the things that are, that made us great and the things that we learned along the way and try not to repeat them, or you can accept it and make it better and move forward, but be proud of your heritage. I mean, listen, everybody has secrets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the problem with the secrets of America is everybody, you know, they're out there. And you can't just tear a page out of a book and expect people not to know that this happened. So I think it's the same thing with the Continental Railroad. I mean, you don't normally hear the downside of it, but you just think of the great wealth and the achievement that was done. But the dirty, dark secret is that it was very brutal. Yep. Very brutal, and not anything to be proud of. Right. And but, you know, that's our heritage. Yep. And we can't change it.
Well, that'll wrap up the show for today. Hopefully Tim will be around next week.
Yeah, he's supposed to have some time off, but we'll see how long that lasts.
All right, Greg, have a good week. We'll speak to you next week.
You too.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Of course, that is the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke, and that is Greg Strom on his own with A Praise This here on Robin Hood Radio.